Yeah, kia ora, Dale. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, you too. We'll talk some league and rugby, of course, in a moment. But Zoe Hobbs, who has connections, Zoe's into, is it Ngā Ruahine, which is sort of between Hawera and Opunake. She's become our fastest wahine, did a 10.96 to qualify for the Olympics. Pretty amazing, this young lady. Do you know much about her, Ken?
No, but obviously you need the talent, which some say you're born with, and then you need the regime, and that regime obviously includes, you know, diet and physical preparation, and you need to be surrounded with people that can help you get those qualifying times. And what we are seeing in terms of 10.96 is years and years of mahi and sacrifice to get to that point. And like many of us have followed her publicly through the media, through all of her achievements, and it's fabulous. I think probably the fastest wahine we have had ever. Over 100, I can't recall. Offhand, we've had too many others that have qualified for the Olympic Games at the 100-metre level, fastest woman on the planet. So it'll be very, very interesting to see how she progresses through what's a very, very big year in 2024.
Tēnā koe, is pleased to be able to call the New South Wales Cup game, and a good win for the Warriors. They've had a checkered results over the past month and a half or so, but they got the win against Souths. Sadly, the top side couldn't emulate their feats. But really good to see you, Neff, having a good run out there. And congratulations to him, young Jacob Laban. What did you make of his head out, and how proud are you as an uncle to see him get an opportunity in New South Wales Cup?
You know, it's terrific for young Jacob. Still only 19, but eligible for 20s. He's a good kid, hard working, big body, as well, with a high work rate, playing on the edge. And you talk about, you know, checkered formula, it's a checkered game and a checkered competition. Be it in the New South Wales Cup or in the NRL, such as the closeness and the similarity of the programs. We're always going to get those results when you're going to go on, you know, many moments of triumph up against many moments of disaster along the line. We saw that with a couple of blowout scores on the weekend as well, which we're not used to seeing in the NRL. But, you know, young Jacob is a boy with a big future, and he's in a system that's performing well at the elite level. And even though the Warriors didn't get the job done on the weekend, nonetheless, there was enough to see that they're going to be a threat in the competition this year, which is not something we've been able to say previously. Bearing in mind they were 6 wins and 18 losses last year, and they're sitting on, I think, 9 wins and just inside the 8. And we're already past the halfway stage of the competition. So they've surpassed 2022. They've played some sublime football as well. And Sean Johnson, who's running the colour for them, is in the form of his life.
Yeah, there'll be many disappointed. I stood in the rain as well with me young fella and the kids. I thought, well, if everyone else can get soaking wet, there's no corporate box for me. So I was out there, you know, rugging up like everyone else with an umbrella that broke. And we didn't have a 74 or 66 nil result. But even so, pretty deflated, the 22,000 that turned up at Mount Smart on Friday night, Ken.
Yeah, but, you know, to get 22,000 in those conditions, you know, that's an indication of the loyalty of the fan base. It's an indication of how well, you know, there's nothing like winning games. You're looking for a marketing tool, and everybody's talking about trying to find new gimmicks and new ways to do this. There's nothing like winning a few games to pack the place out. And it's a game that, you know, again, you know, the NRL is a woulda, coulda, shoulda competition. And those that can hold their nerve long enough consistently string the wins together. But the reality is, you know, probably with the exception of the Panthers and Storms that have been on unbelievable runs in recent times, it's a competition on its day where 4 or 5 teams are capable of winning it, and all 17 teams are capable of beating each other. And that's all the more astonishing with those big 66 and 74 point scores that were posted on the weekend. And, you know, these are teams that are serious contenders to make the eight. They got slapped around a bit as well. So, again, it's an indication of how professional the game is. And, you know, you get yourself on a roll. Like, you know, the Cowboys, who themselves were on the end of the biggest hiding dished out in 2023 just a few weeks ago, were able to reverse the tables on the Tigers and do exactly that to them. And the Bulldogs, well, Cameron Serrato, who's coaching the Bulldogs, everybody's talking about him as a potential State of Origin coach, as a potential Australian coach. I'd say that he's very popular, very intelligent, and he's got a great outlook and a way of dealing with players, and that he represents the new wave of quality coaches coming through. Well, you know, even coaches with all of those accolades that are afforded to them can fall on hard times occasionally in the NRL competition, and that's what happened on the weekend. You know, and you look at Tim Sheens and Benji Marshall with the Tigers, you know, there's a couple of highly respected figures in the game. Well, you know, they're staring at a dark week in terms of preparing after getting dusted up on the weekend by the Cowboys as well.
Good on you, Ken. I hear that from this month, TVNZ are picking up some broadcasting of major international sport. What do you know of what they have planned there with our state-owned broadcaster?
I don't know what's left for them. Maybe some tennis, maybe some domestic cricket. At home with contracts that previously Spark had. But I suppose if you look at the NBA, is it Sky? The NFL, is it Sky? The NRL, is it Sky? The AFL, is it Sky? The English Premiership, is it Sky? I don't know how much of the golf we have, or whether, you know, this is new negotiation time given the new structure and governance. Role that controls golf, which is a huge television sport. I'm not sure Olympic and Commonwealth Games, I think that Sky have got those as well. So I'm assuming it'll be, you know, outside of that broad range of product that Sky offers, that Television New Zealand will probably pick up the rest.
Okay, Paul, what's happening in the rugby world, mate? I called the Super 8 and it was interesting to be at the Gully at New Plymouth Boys High School. I've never been there before. In the end, it was Hastings who got the win 17-7. But that was my sort of extent of rugby contact over the weekend. What about yours, man?
Yeah, well, last week I did the 97th quadrangular tournament involving Wellington College, Christ College, Whanganui Collegiate and Nelson College. Thrilling games at Wellington College. Team coached by former All Blacks Pete Wetu and Niamea Tialata. Nelson College team coached by former Hurricanes assistant John O'Phillips. It was a quality and interesting Ngāti Awatoa FM live stream crew. Corey Stickle and Adrian Royal put the live stream together on behalf of Sky. And I was involved, obviously, in the broadcast side of it. So it was the first time for Atiawa Tora FM, and I think the first time for a Māori live stream organisation to be involved in producing product for Sky that went on Sky Sport 1. So I was very proud to be part of that broadcast on the weekend, and maybe it'll be the first of many to come for Atiawa Tora FM. And I was proud to call those games, and also to see their brand and logo on our screen. So times are changing.
Times are changing, and you know what used to be a radio station, they've become broadcasters in their own right now with digital cameras and becoming more cost effective. It used to be super expensive to broadcast anything, but now with live streaming. Costs have come down, technology allows more players, and that's bringing through some real talent in the sort of program-making side. You can't replace Ken Laban, though, because he's an institution. Hey, Ken?
Yeah, well, you know the reality is, including yourself, Dahlia, our names and our profiles are associated with, decades of association with various sports and products that we broadcast over the years, and you can't get away from that. For me, I think it was my 14th consecutive quadrangular final, having called the first one back in 2010. And, when we first started broadcasting, Akira and Rico Ioane were still at school. That's how long you and I have been at it. So it was very nice. It was very nice to be involved. But now, you now see where they are now, professional players and, All Blacks and getting ready for World Cups and all those sorts of things. And, one of the quadrangular tournaments I did not that long ago, Damien McKenzie was playing first 5-8 for Christ College, and the blindside flanker for Wellington College was Nelson Asofa-Solomona, who's now at the Melbourne Storm. So, you get to see a number of high-profile players like that. I remember Dalton Papali'i was the open-side flanker at St. Kenigan's, and Suliasi Wulivalu, who had a fabulous career with Melbourne Storm, was on the wing in the same team. We do have that, that benefit of being around a long time and seeing these men now when they were kids.
Yes, mate, you and I, rugby league to rugby to retirement villages. It's been an amazing ride. Thanks. Thanks, Kenny. Good
we
talking
end
with
up
you.
In the same place, brother.
Thank you, Ken. Thanks. Ken Labor.